From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're broadcasting our annual Where Are They Now show. That's our host, Christopher O'Reilly, at the piano. Today, we'll meet outstanding musicians from 16 to 18 years old, a collection of kids who truly inspired us when they first appeared in our program. And then we'll follow up with each of the performers to discover where life has taken them since they appeared on the show. We'll hear a stirring trumpet piece by Ernst Bloch, recorded for our show by a young man when he was 17 years old. He's 23 now, and we'll catch up with him in L.A., where he's composing for film and TV. We'll enjoy a flashy showpiece for marimba, performed by a 16-year-old from Iowa, and then we'll hear about some pretty major life decisions she's had to make since graduating college. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome, everybody. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Chris.
This is definitely the most sentimental show of the year, wouldn't you say?
I sure would. I love it. I like hearing how the kids have changed.
Or, of course, how they haven't changed.
Sure.
Victoria Bass, for instance, she hasn't changed.
Well, thank goodness.
At least the good things about her haven't changed. She's our first performer. She was 18 when she appeared on our show to play cello, and that was 5 years ago. We decided to get back in touch with her because her exuberance for music, her zest for life, blew us all away. Here is her original performance on our show of Boccherini's Sonata No. 6 in A, the first movement.
Thank you. Victoria Basque, 18 years old, from Manitoba in Canada, playing Boccherini to open our program. Victoria, beautiful performance.
Thank you.
You seem so passionate and committed about this music. Something about Boccherini.
How can you not be?
Well, it's fantastic stuff. I'm looking at the dates of Boccherini's life, and he sort of straddles between Mozart and Beethoven, and yet he seems so steeped back in the Baroque, back in the sort of the reverential, you know, beatific style. Mm-hmm.
I think in this piece in particular, with all of Boccherini's work, I think what helps so much us cellists is that Boccherini was a cellist. Mm-hmm. And so he knows what feels good to play on the instrument.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what fits in our hands. And he knows what we like to do.
Right.
So it's just so easy to express so much through it because it's all right there. It's always existed, and we just have to channel it. You know,
it's very expressive the way you play it. It's just gorgeous. Now, you started cello probably at an early age, but you didn't grow up in a big town.
No.
How big is Brent?
It's quite small. It's quite limited. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's 2.5 hours from the nearest city, and on one side, and then 12 hours on the other side.
Well, so what about
we
that kind
of... We have lots of trees.
You like
we,
the
I mean,
lifestyle.
Actually, we don't have a lot of trees. We have lots of fields and farmers.
That sounds familiar. It sounds like sort of a northern extension of North Dakota.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
I've got the picture now. Now, your life in the small town, though, I mean, it's are you the only kid who plays music in your school, or do you have to end up doing double duty as a musician?
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that. The best thing about being in a small town is that you get to do everything. You know, I mean, so not only am I doing orchestra and my lessons, of course, when I was at home, but they kind of needed us to fill in theater and in concert band at school and student council and, you know, the sports teams and stuff. Not that we're any good, but they just need someone there in case the ball should happen to fly that way.
So has the community spirit of your town really contributed to what I really feel from you is a very healthy perspective on music?
It has. It's forced me to be a well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can get around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that if I was in a bigger city for my whole life, it would be cello, maybe a youth orchestra, and maybe a quartet or something, and that's all you do, and focus, focus, focus.
Right.
But I have a very good friend, and she always says that music is about life. Life is not about music. And I think that's really important. And when I decide to focus on cello, or maybe I'll decide to focus on something else, mm-hmm. but probably cello, I don't think it will ever be to the exclusion of the rest of my life, mm-hmm. you know?
So where did that small town girl end up? At the age of 22, graduated from college, does she still have that same spunk and enthusiasm for music? This is what she said when I got together with her last week.
I'm so into it. I'm doing great. I think I'm even more into it than I was back then, if that's even possible to imagine. But it's all renewed and still going strong, so
awesome.
I'm good.
And I'm shocked to hear that our Canadian girl went from the frozen tundra in Manitoba to study in perhaps the most humid city in the United States.
Yeah, well, I told my parents that I wanted to be able to wear flip-flops throughout all of college, and so I ended up in Houston, Texas,
and
to go
lost,
to Rice University.
You've lost your arches as a result, I hear.
Also. I have, completely. I can't wear real shoes anymore, and I had nothing to wear when I got down here. Like, I didn't know that they made tank tops for a reason. There is a reason, and it's Houston, Texas. That's the reason.
Even T-shirts won't work.
They're too hot. Victoria. There's too much material.
Yes. And going from a small town to a big city, I mean, what other kinds of things were surprising to you?
It was just totally overwhelming. When my parents moved me down here, we couldn't drive anywhere because we never had any idea what lane of the highway we were supposed to be in. And there are people zooming all over the places, and there's all these overpasses, and there's just cars everywhere. And, you know, we're like, you only need one lane to go this way and one lane to go the other way. That's what we're used to, you know? That's it. So it was a little overwhelming.
So you've just gotten your bachelor's degree at Rice, but
yes.
I heard that towards the end of your time there for your undergrad, you almost chose to stop pursuing music altogether.
Yeah, I got talking with my teacher about auditioning for grad school and, you know, kind of what direction I wanted my career to move in.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom line is I got really scared. Well, I was afraid. I've always been so attached to what I do. And mm-hmm. I was afraid that what if I'm not able to make an artistically fulfilling career? Like, what if I just can't make it the way that I love it? I think it would be more painful for me to sell my soul or something and find myself doing something that I didn't love than it would be to pursue another profession.
Sure.
And then only, you know, do the music that I was really, really excited about playing. And I think I was just scared that maybe I didn't really have what it takes, you know? And so I was kind of thinking, well, you know, I've always really been interested in science, and I've always really been interested in medicine, and so maybe I'll just go to medical school and I'll just play the cello for fun. So I kind of didn't practice anymore, and I kind of started investigating that route. And my teacher was, he understood that I was afraid, and he was like, you know, I think that it's just that you're scared, and it's normal because it's a big jump to go, you know, into master's work and go into launching your career and everything. And so we need to focus on the things that you're afraid of, not, you know, quitting and running away. So he forced me to play my senior recital anyway. And then I was kind of like, oh yeah, I love doing this. I don't think I could not do this, you know?
It's a really good thing that he pushed you. So now you and your cello are close friends again and traveling together.
Oh yes. Yes, my cello has a frequent flyer card, and we sit together on the plane, and most of the time, you know, he lets me eat his peanuts, and, you know, they don't really usually want to give me extra beverages for it, but it's thirsty, you know?
Hey,
he wants a beverage. He's been traveling.
You bought the ticket for it. It's not like
exactly.
They're doing you a favor.
There are only certain airlines that will let my cello have a frequent flyer account because the other ones, like, want to see ID. I'm like, I'm sorry, my cello doesn't have a driver's license. I really don't think you want my cello to be licensed to operate an automobile.
I know. It's probably too old to operate a car at this point.
Well, actually, it's too young. I just got a new cello. It's really exciting. And I'm playing a lot of new music now. And so I really wanted a contemporary instrument.
That's right. I wanted to talk to you about that. Tell everybody who you're playing with now.
Oh, I'm playing with the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
It's going really well.
We're
doing a recording this summer.
Man.
And it's really fun. I get to do singing and playing and like movement and a lot of like acting and stuff like that too. So plus I get to play really awesome new music.
Now, I find this hard to believe, but our producers told me that you actually credit being on our show with the beginning of this interest in new music.
Uh-huh, I do, because when I was on your show, we had that wonderful combination of the pianist who wrote poetry and then the fabulous soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys commissioned that piece for soprano and cello using the pianist's poetry. And I remember, you know, somebody called me and was like, we have this piece and you want to play it? And I was like, okay, you want me to do what? And I was like totally not into this at that point in time. And then I get the music and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I worked on it with the composer, and I was like, oh.
Josh Deutsch.
This is cool, too.
Joshua. And Lisa Jordheim, I've actually played with since then, the wonderful soprano.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. She was fabulous. Everyone on the show was just great. And it was such a great experience, you know, to be involved in that process. And so when I got back to Interlaken, I was really into it, and I started, like, hanging out with composers and asking them to write pieces for me and stuff.
Yeah.
And then from there on, it just sort of, like, all exploded all over the place, and I couldn't get enough of it.
That's fantastic.
So it's all because of you guys.
Pshaw. You're just saying that. And here you are, you know, new music is a specialty for you.
Yeah.
Here you are. Gosh, I'm so glad you're out there. The music world
Yay.
Needs you.
Thank you.
I hope we get to work together sometime. And
yep.
Victoria, thank you for being with
thank
us.
Thank you.
Appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
Wonderful talking with you.
Our website features profiles of all our young musicians on each show, and this week our profiles have a kind of before and after theme. Log on to compare the old kid with the new kid. Go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, helping young people of exceptional promise achieve their full potential through education. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.